Good evening, and may the Lord bless our gathering. May we sense the Spirit in our hearts tonight as we prepare our hearts for communion on Sunday. We were at a church service today, too, and we buried my wife's stepmother, Mary. She was 96, almost 97. And she's lived her life. She doesn't have to prepare her heart for preparatory no more. She don't have to commune no more. She is finished with life. And I had to think how final it was today again. When you go to a funeral, you realize that that person's life has been lived. It is final. Some younger, some older. Of course, we'd say she had a full life. I think it's looking younger all the time. But we need to keep our hearts continually prepared for when the Lord does call us out of this life. And that's what we want to do tonight. Again, have a time in our hearts when we draw ourselves to what God has done for us, what he's done through Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual meeting with representing Christ into our hearts tonight and recognizing that we will meet him someday. And for that reason, we need to be prepared. And that's what we want to do tonight, proper preparation in our hearts for Sunday communion service. I chose tonight, well, when I think about preparatory service, what I think about is counsel. We take counsel, and when we take counsel, we look at our lives personally, how we are before God, how we are toward our fellow men, what we feel in our hearts, and how we respond to the different things involved in church life. And it makes all the difference in my personal experience in how I relate spiritually to God in all the things I do in life. And we can think of people that we know they're not living for the Lord. And we can say spiritually, we're sure they're not serving God. But I would hope we're here tonight with a desire to learn how to be better prepared people in our service to the Lord. And in counsel, we do that in checking our lives. I believe preparatory is a time when we surpass that. And now we're focusing tonight on what is coming on Sunday. And as we think about that in our lives, how God takes us and manifests himself in us and through us, and we meet him on a level in some different setting and way than we usually do through church life. We do it twice a year, and I think it's a good practice. But we use a preparation service to prepare us for what we are doing Sunday. And then Sunday, we'll focus more on what Christ did for our lives in being crucified on the cross and shedding his blood to atone for my sinful self I was, and I am redeemed through him. So what a blessing. But tonight I'd like to focus a little bit on the Old Testament. We're going to look at, I felt led to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and looking at verses 19 to 27 and then through to chapter 29 verses 1 to 11. And it actually talks about what we want to describe tonight is two kings that I look at their lives, and they did leave a testimony, one not good and one good. And as we think about that, where do we fit into all of that? What I'd like to think about is what it means to serve God in the capacity of taking our lives and fitting them into zinc or connection with what it means in seeing, watching, and observing other people's lives, and then also how we observe God and can keep ourselves connected to Him. Let's read our text tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 19 through 27. And then we want to read on through, or I want to go back, I'm sorry, I said 28, 19 to 27, and 29, 1 to 11. Verse 19 in chapter 28, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord, until Gath-hepilah-nezer, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that king Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Assyria, of Syria, helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked one to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all of his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead." Chapter 29, verses 1 to 11. "Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of God, of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, they have put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense." I'd like to stop reading there. I'd like to go right into it's in verse 23, and we want to notice something here. Ahaz was listed as one of the wicked kings, and he did things against God, and what happens in our lives, and I want us to get some understanding. We want to think about the humility we need to have in preparation for communion. When we think about our lives, what we've been redeemed from, what Christ forgave us of our sins, something we couldn't do any which way to atone for the blood or for our own sinful condition, it was only through Christ alone that this could all happen. But this man here, Ahaz, for some reason or other, he never served God. Ahaz was a wicked king. And it tells us here in verse 23, he was having problems with the Assyrians. They were trying to get at him. And I believe they were going to try and take the city or take his part of the kingdom and capture it. And it was distressing Ahaz to the point of where he started to be persuaded. And folks, this is what we need to be very careful about. The God we serve is alone the God that we will keep in our lives. We do not look around us because things get difficult sometimes and start considering other gods. Here is what Ahaz did. Look at verse 23. This king from Assyria, his name's difficult, but it's Tilgath-Pilneser. It's a funny name, but he was the king of Assyria, and he was giving Ahaz problems. Ahaz, he started to think, well, the way this guy's progressing and the things that are happening in the right sense for him, and David the psalmist made comment to this already. He said, the people that are ungodly, living lives that are sinful, and for some reason they're really progressing, they're being blessed. But he said when he went into the house of the Lord that helped him clear the slate, that he understood who God was and what God meant in his life. And folks, that's what we are doing. We are again recollecting in our hearts what took place in our lives. And we want to make some parallels here tonight. But the first one I'd like to focus on is the humiliation that God expects from us as his children. If you look through scripture, you will find that without a heart of humility before God, we are despised by God. And that's mentioned over and over in the scriptures. And we need to be a people that approaches God. Well, if you look at, if you go back here just in the next chapter, and it, numbers of times it happened, I had found a place where the Bible spoke about two kings that were against the Lord's will, and God was going to punish them. And as soon as they humbled their hearts before God, God withdrew his punishment. You know, God expects us, dear folks, to be people that bend and bow ourselves before him in humility. But it says here in chapter 30, verse 11, it says, nevertheless, and this is where they were being, these men were being troubled by a group of people. And it says, nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Humility is a virtue, dear folks, that I believe doesn't come automatically. It's something that we are troubled by in our own spirit. But I believe to be a person that lives with a humble heart, a heart of humility, can sometimes be a test. It can stress us. It can be difficult and hard for us to practice it. But I believe that if you want the blessing and the time in our lives when the spirit, we sense the closeness of God, is the more we humiliate ourselves before the Lord, the more we will experience his goodness in our lives. And it's sometimes difficult to find that. But God, humility is a virtue that God will not despise. And if you go to Philippians, I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2, thinking about the humility in preparation. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, I'd like to read them verses at this time. Here the Bible says, in Philippians 2:1-3, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, or in any, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship to, of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, and not just the same love, but also being of one accord. When we think about our preparation for communion, we want to be sure that our hearts are in one accord. Unity was expressed tonight by Brother Mike, and we need to unify our hearts. But it's then it goes on and says another thing. It says of one mind. Well, I'm sure we don't all think the same things, because we'd all like every one thing in practice all the time together, and that will never happen. But I'm talking about the spiritual goodness that God wants to express on our lives. And the Bible says then be let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And then it says it again, but in lowliness of mind, or you can put the word humility of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. But how often do we express to someone that we honor them and say to them, boy, you did a wonderful job, or it was well done, and express ourselves in our hearts? And we there's something about humility happens when I express something to someone that does something well that I feel they probably did it better than me, and I can say that to them. But we so often want to draw recognition to ourselves. And there's a part of that that is an honorable thing if we can handle it in the right perspective of how we come through with it. It's not always easy, but we need to remember we should not try to lift up ourselves but others. And that's what church life is all about, in honoring one another. There's a couple verses in chapter 4 of James I would also like to read here. And that's verses 6 and 10. Verses 6 and 10 of chapter 4. The Bible says here, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. You know, sometimes that's difficult to practice, but folks, when the Bible says that's how it is, that's how it's going to be, and that's the way you receive the blessing of God upon your life, following his word. It says also then in verse 10 of the same chapter, in James, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And if you go into the where Jesus made himself of no reputation, he humbled himself before God, and God will exalt you in your life. So God's grace is upon a life that is practicing humility. Let's consider the next point, sanctified in preparation. And I'd like to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. The Bible says here, and they gathered their brethren, and they sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of Israel. Now, there were some real problems going on here. And as we draw conclusions from this portion of scripture tonight, our text, you want to recognize that sanctification is a very important part in our Christian experience. Sanctification is never gleaned in one experience and you have it for good. We believe in progressive sanctification. That means that I'm continually growing in the grace of the Lord. It means I have never arrived, and I won't, this side of glory. And where it says I press toward the mark, that means you are continually desiring to be more Christ-like. That means I want to become more like he is and not express my own self and I have arrived. We never arrive this side of glory. We're talking about preparation of our heart. Sanctifying ourselves means to set apart, to be different, and to be more holy, and to live more Christ-like. That's what we need to desire to do. Here in verse 15, when it expresses it, it says they sanctified themselves or set themselves apart. In verse 17, it says, now they began on the first day of the month to sanctify, and to on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they made an end, it says. And then in verse 20, or chapter 29, verse 31, in the same chapter, the Bible says this. Then Hezekiah, the Bible tells us, and he was a man that followed the Lord and did what the Lord wanted him to. And you know something I find interesting in Scripture? As I was preparing for this message, I looked back through Scripture and at different kings and so forth. And it's interesting how the people of God could be led to serve God in faithfulness or lead them away from faithfulness. Those kings did that. And as you consider that and think about the different kings, and you look where it says that the kings did right in the sight of the Lord, it often expresses the name of the king's mother. When it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord, there is no mother's name. Now, I don't say it says it every time, but it's often that way. So, moms, tonight, you have a high calling. I don't know if your children will ever be kings, but you decide the direction of your children oftentimes. You play a big part. And I want to encourage you in that. When we think of the kings that it mentions here, they say how they were a good king, and it spells out the name. Why, Mrs. Noah, I call her Mrs. Noah because we don't know what her name was, Noah's wife. But they mention the person's name. And I just had to think of that. That's interesting that they draw out the mother of these individuals. But listen, the sanctifying of the heart of God, or sanctifying our hearts toward God, is so valuable as we sanctify our personal lives. And I challenge us tonight, do we, in our souls and our hearts, draw ourselves in a specific manner toward Him in our spiritual condition of life? Do you find yourself, I know it's not practiced a lot, and I shamefully say for myself, I don't fast much either, but I feel sometimes maybe the church is missing something by not practicing that gift of fasting. I really do. There's something about denying ourselves of food. I'm talking about physical food, and focusing on the spiritual part of God that can make a bigger difference in how we relate with God. Because what we're telling God is that we are drawing our hearts to Him in wanting Him to revelate Himself through our lives more so that we can have a closer relationship. Isn't that what it's all about? Is for, as we go through preparatory service and we go into community service, it is about focusing on God's goodness and getting closer to God in our experience with Him. That's what it's all about. It's not we go through the practice and that's good enough. But progressive sanctification needs to take place in our lives, and we need to sanctify our hearts before God and keep on serving faithfully. But consecrating yourselves. Here in the same chapter, 29, verse 31, the Bible says, then Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. You notice what he says. He says, come near. And he says, bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifice and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart burned offering. That's an interesting thought there in that verse when it talks about the thank offerings. As they were given, they were of a free heart. I would say to us tonight, it's talking about the willing heart. I think that's what he was trying to express to the people. He was trying to get their attention to bring their offerings to God with a heart of willingness, wanting it this way. Not just to go through the motions and the practice of it. But he wanted to draw their hearts to God in their experience in giving the offerings to God, because he calls it a free heart burned offering. You understand? So sanctification in preparation, that is important to see that before God we are who we should be. Thinking about the next point, cleansing in preparation. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 16. I'd like to read that verse at this time. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 16. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord. Now notice, it says to cleanse it. Let's remember something here. Ahaz, when he was king, he was dealing with the Assyrians. And he saw, well, here we can go right on it's in the other page. But in chapter 28, verse 23, the Bible says, therefore he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. Now, why did he do that? Because he realized that the Assyrian king was progressing, that guy's name, Tilgazanor, he was making progress in defeating his kingdom. Ahaz's kingdom. And there in verse 23, he says, he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. That was their gods. And he says this, which smote him. They were smiting him. He says, because the gods of the kings of Assyria helped them. And then he says, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. Isn't that interesting? The guy, he should have been a man of God. He chose not to be a man of God and did what was evil. Then he expresses himself and starts to focus on the king that is defeating him, which is not a God, large G, serving God. But he was serving the gods that they had set up. And he says, well, maybe if I serve them gods, I'll also be doing all right. What I want to say to that in thinking about cleansing in preparation, you know, when we as God's children start to dwindle in our Christian life, and sometimes we go through some difficult experiences, do we ever get a notion in our hearts that maybe if I did things a little more over here, as he thought, maybe it would work better. Or maybe I'll be all right doing it that way. Does that ever happen for us? Cleansing in preparation. You know, the preparatory service to communion is a time when if there are things in our lives that we need to correct before God, he will help us cleanse our hearts. Is that okay? Cleansing in preparation. Let's go back to verse 16. The priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness. I'd like to focus a little bit on that word all. You know, we can do haphazard or half-hearted cleansing in our lives. Well, I'm not all that bad. But there are a few things I could brush up on, and maybe I'll just kind of get better at this or better at that. Folks, that's not what it's all about. It's about having a cleansed heart completely, as the Bible says. All the uncleanness that they found, and I'm comparing this. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, I believe it is, that we have our God dwells in the what? Tabernacles of men. That means we are the temple of God. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, 19 to 21, you read that sometime. For you are bought with a price. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God expects me to be sure that I'm checking this heart. I am the temple of God. God chose to live in us. Back in the Old Testament, he came upon people and worked through their lives. But today, folks, he lives in our hearts, in our fleshly hearts. Do you realize how close God wants to be to you? But I'll tell you something, folks. I can give him a great allegiance of my life. I can do many things in his name. But if there's one thing that I withhold, if you want to put it in percentages, if I want to keep 5% for me and give him 95, that is not good enough. And I can say that according to scripture tonight, because he is calling us to complete allegiance. That is very important if you want the blessing of the Lord on your life fully. I'm saying fully. Is that maybe why sometimes we're not so successful in living out our Christian lives as we could? Cleansing in preparation, cleansing our house. Well, it says all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it, so to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. They threw it into the brook of the brook Kidron. And you know what the brook Kidron is? That is a creek, a sizable creek that flows out of the city of Jerusalem. And that creek is the creek where they had the dung gate, where it would all the trash and the blood from sacrifice and things in the years gone by would flow out there, go in the brook Kidron and flow away. Well, here it's expressing the brook Kidron, where some things were thrown into the brook Kidron that were no longer acceptable, and they got rid of them. So, folks, all uncleanness needs to be taken out of our heart. We can't keep some of it, but we need to get rid of all of it. And this word uncleanness here, if you were to look it up, side note here, it says dirt. I thought that's a funny word, dirt. You know what dirt is, don't you? It's not clean, that's for sure, but dirt. So we should take all the dirt that they found in the temple. They cleaned it. And if you go through scripture, you'll find that when they opened the house of God after Ahaz had shut the doors, I failed to mention about that, but if you... let me see, where is that? It talks about how that Ahaz chose to shut the doors and block them shut in the temple. He closed the doors. And the Bible tells us that as they went to cleanse the house, and here it says, right in our verse we're talking about, in verse 16, it says the priests went into the inner part. Now, if you remember, in the temple, in the tabernacle, there was what they called the Holy of Holies. That is where they would go through the big curtain and meet God on the other side. And I'm guessing when they're talking about the inner parts of the house in this temple, it could possibly be that. That they went back into the inner part and they wanted to make sure that they get everything cleaned out. And for God to be accepting them in completeness, they needed to do that to the whole house and clean it, as God would expect us to clean our whole heart before him, to go through the communing experience. Point number four. Sacrificing in preparation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we should be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Did you ever take time to just sit and leave God have a cleansing effect on you, or a sacrificial time of just giving God your heart and letting Him tenor your heart, take your heart and make it what He wants it to be? It's easy not to do that. I know it's a challenge every day for us to do that, but I'd like to read verses 21 through 24 in this chapter. Here the Bible says, and they brought seven bullocks, seven rams, seven lambs, and seven he-goats. It's talking about the sacrifice and how they prepared themselves. And it says, and they brought the seven he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar likewise. When they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. The word I want to think about here, when we're talking about the blood sacrifice he used to do, I'm thankful today we don't need to do that. I mean, Jesus Christ came as the high priest, and when he shed his blood, the Bible tells it was atoned for once and for all. Folks, that is a blessing in itself. When we give our lives to him in a commitment that is complete, there is a part of us that says, he gave it all for me, just for me. Do you look at it that way? If you were the only person upon this world, this earth, would have God still send his son? You know he would have, because he values you worth more than the whole world in its completeness. So think about that. God would have sent his son to atone for you in your sinful condition if you were the only one that lived on the earth. I really believe that with all my heart, because he loved us that much. But here in this experience of sacrificing, it talks how they did the process, and I believe that God in his order, and I had read it somewhere, it said something about, I don't know, I didn't write it down, but it talked about, and all was done in order. Meaning, God is a God of order. When he says it, it is done right, and it is done complete. There is not a halfway place, but it's all in completeness, and once and done. So, as we think about the sacrificial part of us today in cleansing our hearts before God. Here, as we, I'd like to look at verse 28. Verse 28 in chapter 29. The Bible says, and all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and continued until the burnt offering was finished, until everything was complete. And it's interesting that it puts a completeness to it when it says it was finished. And they were singing and praising God. And I'd like, that brings us to our last point tonight. Joy in preparation. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18, I'd like to back up a little bit. And you know what? The children of Israel, they received one king after another. You had your northern kingdom, which was Judah, and then you had Jerusalem. And They had different kings all the time. And as you look through scripture and you read through the Bible in the 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you know that 1st and 2nd Chronicles identifies and runs parallel with 1st and 2nd Kings. If you don't see something very clear here, you can go back to 1st and 2nd Kings and find it. And it expresses some of the same things, and sometimes you get more detail in another area. But as you think about this, in the joy that's expressed here in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, or no, I said 18. 18 is what we want, verse 27. In chapter 18, verse 27, the Bible says, and Milkiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath, that's not the verse I want. That's not right. See, I must have wrote something down wrong. I wanted the verse, a verse in the maybe it's 28 again. Maybe I have that reversed. Let's see here. No, it's not that one either. It's a verse that expresses the idea of the joy of Christ that comes into your life when things are done in preparation properly. Let's move to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I'd like to look at a few verses here, verses 21 and then 25 through 27. Chapter 30, verse 21. The Bible says, and the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. How would you like to have communion service 7 days? Take a whole week and practice communion, or the Passover, as it's said here. But it says, and the Levites and the priests are the days with great gladness. It says great gladness. It doesn't just say gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Now, does that sound like a pretty much of a bracket? With loud instruments for 7 days? I don't know how much they slept, how much they practiced and kept going day after day after day, but for 7 days. And it says that there was great gladness in that experience. Now, if you go to verses 25 through 27, the Bible says, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelled in Judah rejoiced. You notice the word rejoiced. That word means a feeling of gladness, an experience of an inward thing that's happening in your heart where you rejoice in whatever is taking place in your life. And I believe that is when we really meet the Lord and we have that spiritual experience in our lives. So the Bible goes on and says here, as it talks about this experience of rejoicing, it says in verse 26, so there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, was not the like in Jerusalem. And then it says in verse 27 still, then the priests, the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even into heaven. Oh my, what an experience. It's not just that the people rejoiced in themselves, in their hearts, in this experience of being together as a congregation. It talks about an expression of congregation over and over throughout Scripture. But then when it goes on and it says, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even into heaven. Folks, do you believe tonight that as God's children's hearts are sanctified before God, as we humble our hearts, first of all, and then we sanctify ourselves in preparation, cleansing ourselves in preparation, and then sacrificing in preparation, there is joy comes out of that preparation. And not just that, dear people, it goes into heaven. And God is up there rejoicing as you express yourselves in a complete experience of your communion that you have with him. Do you get that picture tonight? That is what God wants from us. As you go from this night to Sunday morning, think about this. Do you know what? We are a congregation. But listen, we are in church together as a people tonight, but we still exist and maintain out there where we live in our communities and everything else as a congregation. We are connected, dear people. We are spiritually connected. And if that isn't a blessing in your heart for you, it is to me. It is something that you ought to rejoice in. And God hears all of that as you and I are committed to let him have control of our lives. Humiliation before him brings all the others in place. And God sees and he accepts that. Well, as we think about all this, the Bible, I'd like to look at one verse here in chapter 27, verse 6. Chapter 27, verse 6. And this is when Jotham was king. The Bible tells us that he served for 25 years, or he was 25 years old when he started to reign as king. And it says that he reigned for 16 years. But as we move through this process, and it talks about Jotham, then in verse 6, it says this. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. That is a nutshell in itself. He prepared his ways before the Lord. That word prepared there means he ordered his ways before the Lord. Folks, as we approach communion coming up, what about that? The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Jotham's steps were ordered by the Lord, and yours can be too. How about the steps that God orders in your life? How do you communicate with God in all of that? May the Lord bless you as you go home and as you look forward to the communion experience on Sunday. May you take it to heart that God wants to get closer to you every day. He wants to sanctify you more, make you more complete in him, so that when the day comes that we meet him, we can rejoice in that great moment when we are with the Heavenly Father, even into heaven. If it's convenient for you, let's all kneel together. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne this evening, oh God, as we think of the communion experience coming on Sunday, dear Lord, just somehow minister into our hearts through the coming days here. And Lord, as we look forward for that time when we will meet with you and see you face to face, and Father, what you have done for us, help us in our hearts to rejoice in that. There's nothing good in myself, or any of us for that matter, but it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we are what we are. And Father, we want to commend our lives to you this evening. Oh God, that as a congregation, we would fulfill the commission you have called us to. So, Father, I pray that you would make us a blessing to yourself. And fathers, we look forward to the Sunday communion experience that we could touch and even sense it into heaven. So Father, make us a blessing to yourself, each one of us. We give you the praise and the honor you so deserve. And Father, we magnify you for your goodness to us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.